Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of Crusader Talk. Glad to have you with us. My name is Caleb Hamill, joined as always by Josh West, and we are recapping a large week of William Carey sports for you on this here show / podcast. And wish we had some better news to report on the basketball front, but unfortunately, both men's and women's basketball have seen their seasons come to a close. William Carey men over in Langston, Oklahoma. Meanwhile, the Carey women, as one of the better seeds in the overall NAIA tournament picture, played on the road in Xavier, the host school there in New Orleans, and come up short in round two. And Josh was down there for the call of those games. Josh, first of all, it's always great to see the teams even make it to the NAIA tournament. We found out last week on the podcast it was the first time that both the men and the women were in the were in the tournaments at the same time in their program's histories. And it's awesome to see the success in that regard, that both get bids to the tournament. Just a little unfortunate to see them both come to a close so soon.
Yeah, it was. And I think what is lost in the regionals coming to a close is the fact that the Carey ladies did get a win. It wasn't a one and done. They did get to the round of 32, or as the NAIA calls it, the second round. So they kind of dub it what you could call a regional. It's just the first and second round, and there's actually a little trophy that goes along with that. And Xavier was cutting down the nets when that game against William Carey was done on Saturday afternoon. But Carey played very, very well against a really good, underrated Lindsey Wilson team that played out of the Mid-South Conference, played in the toughest league in the country, had the number three strength of schedule, and was maybe even underseeded, if I can even say that. I mean, I think that was a team that certainly looked and played and had some wins on their resume of some teams that were seated higher and that had much better win-loss ratios. But that was a very good basketball team. And then Xavier, my goodness. I mean, that's a Xavier team that I am going to have all eyes on. Really talked to some of their players after the game, talked to some of the parents of their players, really got to know their coach and some of their sports information staff and support staff and stuff, and visited with them and made some really good relationships there. And man, I'm going to be pulling for them against Southern Oregon, an undefeated team that is has not played the strength of schedule that some of the teams in the Midwest and the South play. And so I think it's going to be a really tough matchup for Southern Oregon and Xavier. So as we kind of break down these regionals for William Carey men and women, it's going to, I think Carey very well could be looking up and seeing Xavier make a run even further into this tournament.
If they do, it'd be really similar to what we saw with the SSAC basketball tournament, as Carey dropped one to Blue Mountain, and then all of a sudden Blue Mountain Christian goes on and wins the whole thing on the women's side. So I would not be surprised if Xavier, like you said, makes a big run there. It does just kind of depend on their matchups down the line. But all in all, it has taken really tough teams to play hard against William Carey this year. And to look at it from a 1,000-foot view afterward, to say you lost two total basketball games this year, one to Blue Mountain Christian, who won the SSAC tournament, and now one to Xavier, who was the host school and may make a run, like you said, in the overall, you know, final site of the NAIA. It's still a historic season. I mean, you still finished the regular season undefeated. You got your second conference championship of the regular season in a row, this time outright. Didn't have to share it with Loyola this time. And overall, a great performance to win one in the NAIA tournament and send out Coach English with a bang in his final season coaching.
Well, I mean, you're exactly right. And back to who ended the season, right? Xavier was a team that got off to their best ever start in school history, 18-0, finished the regular season, I believe 25-2. I'm trying to do quick numbers looking at the screen. They're 29-3 now. part of their resume was snapping LSU Shreveport's 30-game conference winning streak. Their only home loss of the entire year was a loss to that very same LSU Shreveport team. So that was for all the 21 seasons and, you know, so many NAIA tournament appearances for Xavier, they have been a perennial team in that tournament. So for Kerry to do that and then to go play a Xavier team, which they've beaten only once ever in New Orleans since 2004. We got records that go back to 2004, 2005. They only had one win in that span. The majority of the wins came in Hattiesburg. So it was certainly a challenge. And so back to the women for William Carey. My goodness, what Coach English accomplished this year was remarkable. And with a group that's going to lose six seniors, but it's going to lose two starters, but with Maddie Ladner returning, Chenille Corpus, Leah Sutton, Jenna Garriga, you essentially have a group that you say, okay, potentially you've got four starters there. And then depending on how you want to play the lineup, you plug in Addie Scherer, and then you plug in a Dede Cuevas. You've got a starting five there. So they need to pick up a couple of players. I don't know necessarily if the roster is going to be as big next year. I'm always of the mindset that it is very hard. I learned that early on covering basketball, and in particular women's basketball. It's very hard to keep more than 11 or 12 players happy. You know, players want to play.
Right.
And if you've got 15, 16 on the roster that you're carrying, unless you've got five or six freshmen, true freshmen that don't expect to come in and play right away, then it's very hard to keep everybody happy. And so with injuries and the way that roster shook out, there were some players that were happy for the collective, but no doubt disappointed for their own personal playing time and just kind of not quite necessarily the way they thought their personal playing careers would close out at Kerry. So I think the roster might be a little smaller next year, potentially. This is just total personal opinion. No conversations. This is just purely my opinion. And I think that, yeah, they're only maybe a couple of pieces away from rounding out that roster, and they're still going to be really, really good next year. They'll be one of the top two or three teams, I think, preseason in the women's poll next year.
Oh, no doubt. And I think if you look at the stats on the year of some of these players that are returning, your top scorer in Chenille Corpus returns. She had 420 points overall this year. I believe she averaged a double-double. If not, she was really close. She was really close. She had 8.8 as the average per game. But you lose Colton Blakeney and Rose Warren, the two senior starters, like you mentioned. Leah Sutton should be back. Maddie Ladner should be back. Addie Scherer, who played in limited action off and on this year, came alive a little bit later on, is a threat from the perimeter. She's really good out there. And then you think about more players like Brooklyn Cuevas, who will have a better opportunity to take a spot on the floor, whether it be as a sub or a starter. She was a huge product down there on the coast that Kerry looks to try to use possibly going forward. A lot of coast flair still left with this team, in addition to some of the Hattiesburg talent they have with Addie Scherer. Mia Doyle is been one of those. Gabby Gallup just graduated. But all in all, I really do think you're right on track there, Josh. I think there's a lot of talent still on this team. And the great thing about it is there's a lot of these players that played throughout the year in sometimes tough situations, sometimes a little bit more lax, but they've got experience. And that's something you can't replicate in an off season. You have to have players that have actually seen the court, played in the games, played in the conference, and have had quality minutes. And that's what you're getting back with Chenille Corpus, Addie Scherer, Leah Sutton. That's just a fact of life.
Indeed. And, you know, I'm looking over the roster right now. You know, you mentioned on how many points that Corpus scored this year. Just in the last couple of games, like just over the tournament, did she take over that leading scorer role on the team? She was so good against Lindsey Wilson. 25 points in that game against Lindsey Wilson, and I had that box score pulled up of that game. She had 25 points to go along with six rebounds. Rose Warren had one of those Rose Warren games, 17 points, eight rebounds, five assists. Leah Sutton had 13 points and three boards. Colton Blakeney, led the team in scoring going into that tournament, but Colton had a tough week. And I'm chasing, going off a different path here. Colton was always all the time battling her type 1 diabetes. And so when she got the stomach bug, she felt it coming on earlier in the week, like kind of over last weekend, preventatively, or she went on to the hospital to get fluids. And so it was a long week. She didn't really practice Monday and Tuesday, limited on Wednesday, did not travel with the team, came down and met the team in New Orleans. Looked like she had lost about 10 pounds when I saw her again for the first time in New Orleans, and then was much better physical-wise, health-wise on Saturday than she was on Friday's game. But it was such a tough matchup. Xavier keyed in on her, their tempo and their speed and what they were doing. Kerry had no answer to that. And so, you know, Xavier was really, really good in that game. But going back to, again, the makeup of the team and, you know, talking about all the returning players and what the roster could look like and numbers on the roster. So you lose six players. Okay, you lose six. So I would think they would only bring, they've got more committed from Petal. She signed in the fall. And she's 5'11". She's a power forward. She's really good. Maybe only bring in another one or two. And so we'll see how it goes because it's a good team.
Absolutely. Well, we'll continue the conversation about basketball next as Crusader Talk continues.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Back here on Crusader Talk, just recapping the two basketball seasons that have now come to a close here in 2025. We'll also talk about baseball coming up, so stick around for our third segment. We're going to break down what has been a good couple of weeks for Coach Bobby Hallford and company as they are on quite the winning streak and had a lot of scoring over the weekend. That'll be coming up in just a bit. But we continue just to put a little bow on this 2025 women's basketball season for William Carey as they fall to Xavier on, or in the second round, I should say, of the NAIA opening round. And Josh, you mentioned that Colton Blakeney had a rough week coming into the tournament with the stomach bug that she had, which has been popular this the last few months. And by popular, I mean it's just been prevalent. But the other thing that was kind of a black eye on William Carey, no pun intended, was Coach English and what he had to go through on the week.
Yeah, no, tough week for him. You're right. He suffered a fall when he got dehydrated from the flu. And so he did. He goes down and goes right down, falls flat on his face, and scared him, scared Dee Dee. Dee then was at practice with him and was right there on his hip the rest of the week, wanting to make sure that he was okay. But no, it was... That was certainly an awful thing for the Englishes to go through on what was supposed to be such a big week, and it still was. He was recovering from the flu all week. He got better and better and better every day. Obviously, the win was, what do they say, chicken soup for the soul, as the saying goes. That certainly made him feel better as well. And then, you know, you had high expectations, but needed to play pretty perfect against Xavier and then come out and can't throw it in the ocean because of how good Xavier is. They speed you up. They make you uncomfortable. Carey went a stretch of around 15 minutes in that game without making a field goal. Did not make a field goal, a shot from the floor in the second quarter, which is remarkable. We're outscored 21-5, and that was pretty much it. Carey cut it to 15 in the third, only to see Xavier stretch it back out. Rose Warren hit a buzzer beater three at the end of the third to cut it to 16. And then Xavier starts the fourth quarter on another big run and went up by as many as 30 and put that one to bed, so to speak. But just to, you know, wrap up, you know, what this team accomplished, Colton Blakeney finished just less than 40 points away from 1,000 in her career. So almost another 1,000-point score for the Crusaders. And Rose Warren, you know, what was great about Rose is that she came in and I think fell in love with the game of basketball. She was such a decorated high school player and really battled and played and competed at the Division I level, transfers to Carey, and then just fell in love with Carey. Same reasons why we all love it, the people, the relationships, loved being a part of this team, and became an all-conference player again and had a ton of success. So just a couple of the players that are going to be missed, Gallup is going to be missed. Gave her heart and soul to it. Kylie Seals. You lose Zoe Cooley. You lose McKaylee Randall. Six seniors on this team that were a part of getting a program to unprecedented heights. And so for years and decades to come, they'll come back on homecomings and they'll come back for reunions and be able to be very proud of what they accomplished.
I couldn't agree more. All right, we'll use this as a transition point to go ahead and start recapping Coach Knight's season of men's basketball as their season comes to a close against Central Baptist, the Mustangs out of Arkansas. And that final score was 97-82. But, Josh, that's a little misleading. And I know it's to the outsider saying 97-82. You can't really sugarcoat that one just because there's such a big point deficit at the end. But when you look back at this game start to finish, Cary kept this one close for a majority of the time. And let's be honest, it was a little surprising for some to know that Cary was in the tournament. Coach Knight kind of put that to bed when he was on the show last week, just how the pollsters or selection committee people that he's in contact with said that there was no question they were making it. There was no ever a doubt. But all in all, to make it to Langston, Oklahoma, to play in that opening round against Central Baptist was a well-deserved honor for Coach Knight and his team. This team has worked hard, to say the least, Josh. But just to finish my thought, I'm going to toss it over to you for reaction. But as Cary goes up against the Mustangs, they, again, keep it relatively close. And all the way to about the six-minute mark in the second half, it was 6:20 to go, and or 6:35 to go. Cary cut it to 73-72 on a Cam Brown jump shot. And after that, it just seemed to be a Central Baptist run the rest of the way. They would go on to score 9 points in a row, all on two on three-pointers, and there's a little bit of back and forth there, so I'm not reading all this correctly. But nevertheless, Cary had it down to one with just over 6 minutes left, but Central Baptist just kind of got off into a rhythm. At that point, Cary was playing catch-up, having to create fouls. They were making the free throws left and right, and at that point, the game was just out of their hands. You know, you try to get to that desperation point and force the shots and force the free throws just to try to see if you can get possessions again, and it just didn't work out. But all in all, a really tough Central Baptist team that took the Langston team the next day to overtime. What ended up being a loss for Central Baptist and a win for Langston. But that's a good team that Cary lost to. And overall, a really good season for Coach Knight and company.
Yes. I mean, you know, again, early in that game, Dylan Brumfield was unstoppable. Zandon Harrelson was really good in that game. McKean Roberts turned it on a little bit as that game went on, turned it on a little bit more. Cam Brown only with a dozen points. I know he was disappointed in that, but I think this was a Cary team that, you know, they were hoping, kind of a new team in a sense, brought in a lot of transfers. So they were probably kind of like me. I was probably like a lot of the guys, not familiar with how the selection process worked, weren't quite sure that a mid to upper 40s RPI was going to be good enough because we're so used to, we all have NCAA burnt in our brains. And there's over 300 teams in the NCAA as opposed to 227, I think it is, in NAIA. And so when Coach Knight went into the locker room and said, guys, I don't think we're done yet. I think the guys were probably like, Coach, I hope you're right, but it's been fun. I think it was completely rejuvenating for that team to get what had to have felt like just this new lease on life. Man, we get another opportunity to suit up with our guys, to get on a bus, to make a road trip. And, you know, you got a lot of veteran guys on this team. You've got some guys that have already, that are fathers, that have kids, that will be, you know, raising families soon. So for them to get away with the guys and to go have a road trip and to still, if you will, you know, be young again, be a kid again, be able to just lace up the sneakers and go play the game that you fell in love with as a little boy. I think that is so awesome and cannot be lost in that. And so Kerry goes out and lays it on the line. And as you said, I mean, there's a 1-point game under 7 minutes to go. Kerry at one point had a 6-point lead in that second half, if I'm not mistaken. I know it was a 6-point lead. I believe that was in the second half.
Yeah, I think you're right.
As we were charting that game. And so we had a little bit of a tough time there in New Orleans. They were in a little bit of a delayed start in Langston because they had a men's and a women's bracket going at the same venue. But we, so we were tracking it on Stat Broadcast, and we were glued into that. And so we were going back and forth, and the ladies' game had started, and we were trying to chart the men's game and follow the men's game as well during timeouts and so forth. But, you know, I couldn't be more proud of him. I think Dylan Brumfield, what a career he had for William Carey. Finishes with 28 in his finale. And you're going to have some pieces coming back on that team. It'll be interesting to see how the rules for JUCO transfers, if anything changes in the offseason with the NAIA. I know that Coach Knight doesn't believe it will, but that could affect a few players if it does. If for some reason out of the blue that rule changes and some guys get an extra year of eligibility, a guy like a Dylan Brumfield could get an opportunity to extend his career, which would be quite a twist to the story. But I think the biggest thing about this team, Caleb, is this, is that going into the season and kind of where we are with Coach Knight is that he's year to year, right? He's done this for over four decades at a high, high level. That is a big sacrifice of time. It takes a lot of energy, and it's a lot of time away from family and doing some of the other things that you want to do in life. Not that he doesn't love it, because he obviously does, but there are some other things that you also wanted to do and enjoy in life. This is the team that he enjoyed being around so much. This is one of the teams, or the most recent team, that says, hey, I want to do this again. This was so much fun. I want to do it again next year. So right now, it's all systems go. For the 25-26 season, Coach Knight continues on, and I think that's awesome that this team was able to recharge his batteries for another run again next year.
Yeah, very much so. And looking at the rosters, we kind of wrap this segment up. A lot of guys were seniors this year with Campbell, Brown, Brumfield, Harrelson, and Gross. And we'll see all the pieces that remain on the team after this season. Also see the new ones that Coach picks up. They tend to hit the portal pretty well, as history states. And so with that, we look forward to another season of William Carey men's basketball with Coach Knight at the helm. When the day comes that he retires, I, from just a selfish fan perspective, would love to see this as an entire season dedicated to it being his swan song. Don't know if that'll happen. Don't know if he'll make the quiet exit and just kind of tell people after his final game that that was his last game. But nevertheless, we'll look forward to the future when it all happens. All right, a recap of baseball next. Big week for the Crusaders. That and more coming up as Crusader Talk continues.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Good talk about basketball earlier on in the show. William Carey men's and women's basketball teams finish up their seasons in the postseason. That's where you want to finish it up. You want to finish up with a win, but you'll take finishing in the NAIA tournament rather than the SSAC tournament any day of the week. But a couple teams obviously still in progress of their season, still pretty early on in the year, as a matter of fact, for a lot of the sports remaining with tennis, golf, softball, baseball. And we'll recap a little bit of baseball now, because this is the time of year, Josh, where we finally get to really delve into individual sports and talk specifics, trends, individual performances, and especially recapping full weekend series. And if you look at William Carey baseball right now, it is a good time to be following them, because they have hit a good part of their schedule where there have been a lot of good things going down for Coach Halford and company. As you look at it right now, Carey is on currently an 8-game win streak dating back to the finale against Tennessee Southern, all the way through the sweep of Point, a midweek win against West Alabama. I got to touch on that one a little bit. And then the Reuben Parker series over the weekend that caught a couple headlines of their football-like scores there. But all in all, even without Bridley Thomason Eli Collins currently playing right now after their collision during that weekend series against Point. Still doing fairly well. I was really impressed that they beat that NCAA Division II opponent in West Alabama in a tight one, 4-2, which was a comeback win for Kerry.
Yeah. You know, the whole week you mentioned grabbing headlines over the weekend. I mean, what is 75 runs a lot, Caleb?
I would say so.
I mean, just insane that it was so close to being a runaway on Friday. It was 19-4, and Kerry wanted to test out some of the arms in that bullpen, and then all of a sudden, two grand slams later, it's a 19-14 game, and that game plays on, and Kerry was never able to get that to a run rule situation. And then you look up and it's 31-17. Then you got the close one in game one on Saturday, and then things just got ugly quick. 33 runs in seven innings, Caleb. 33 runs in seven innings. And then the numbers, I mean, we were just going over a couple of those before the show. 17 home runs this weekend for Kerry baseball. I mean, that's remarkable. And it's good for Kerry to get some good swings, to get some guys some confidence, for coach to really kind of hone in on where this lineup is. And it seems like the pitching rotation is really kind of zeroing in. Guys are starting to separate themselves. Guys are starting to slot themselves in the lineup, if you will. And so it really feels like that everything's starting to solidify. And then when Thomas and Collins come back, Collins got a good report. Thomas got a really good report after that collision, that this Kerry team could be right back where they've been here the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, and let's be clear. Burton Parker is not a good baseball team, but they are not as bad as the scoreboard would show you over the last weekend. This team was at least competitive in one of the games against Mobile in their last weekend series. They lost the first one 7-6. They didn't get run ruled in the middle game either. Did get run ruled in the final one 13-3. But all in all, they have played a couple close games. They got a win against Blue Mountain Christian. They got a win against Abraham Baldwin, a team that Kerry went 2-1 against. They won a series against Point. They've played some tough opponents recently. They did get a win against Middle Georgia State over in Cochran. All that said, they're now 9-15, but their field plays well to the hitter. It's a short porch type of field, a home run hitter's park. In fact, Josh Alexander had four home runs on the weekend. Jaden Mark had three in one game for Kerry. And it was a DJ Booth hit for the cycle in one of the games as well, the first night. So all kinds of individual performances you could talk about for William Kerry that shined despite the bad pitching they probably saw and the hitter's park that they were playing in. But the glaring things that I want to look at are just kind of game by game. Let's start off with this 31-17 game. You alluded to it. Brady Logan got tossed in there to pitch, and he's a veteran catcher for William Kerry, one of the three that the Crusaders have on their roster this year. And he was used for two outs against John Melvin in one of the midweek games. Not the one that Corey Cook had the no hitter in, but his stuff looked pretty good. He's got a good pitch mix. And when he was out there, his first batter he faced, he got a fly out. So at that point, Kerry led 19-4. They just needed two more outs to get a run rule victory. And that's when things just kind of went south. He starts getting a couple guys on base. They get a couple hits. And eventually, like you said, hit a grand slam. He gets pulled after putting a couple more guys on. And Mason Smith comes in to relieve him. Loads the bases. And a grand slam ensues. I mean, it's just one of those unlucky things. And you know, Kerry had an error in that inning as well that kept it going. In total, Kerry had five errors in the game, which is probably the most concerning stat of the weekend of the defense for the Crusaders. And I didn't get bad prep on my part. I didn't look to see who all committed the errors, but I'll look at it now. Tyler Duxworth with a pair and Hernandez playing at shortstop with three. That's not his normal position. And so there's a little bit forgiven there. Duxworth, you expect a little bit more from third base there, but all said and done, five errors is tough to wear for any defense. Britton Parker helped you out with four. They also walked you a grand total of 13 times in the game. And so, you know, you can't take too much away from that on a pitching staff that gave you that many free passes. But you did get a lot of long balls. In game one, Hernandez had two. Booth had one. Alexander had two. Ratliff had one. And Cam Troskler had one. And it was DJ Booth that had the hit for a cycle in that game in the two spot. He played in left field for Carey in place of Collins. And so, you know, it's maybe a blessing in disguise, by the way. Just thinking back about Bradley Thomas and Eli Collins having their collision, it has forced guys on this team to step up. Bradley Thomas was a little bit of a leader. We've heard Preston Ratliff talk about that in an interview before. And so in his absence, guys have had to step up. Guys have had to be salty. Guys have had to grind out at bats. They don't have him getting hit by a pitch to get on. They don't have Collins going 4-for-4 like he did in the opening game of the year. And so with that, guys like DJ Booth, guys like Alexander, Jaden Mark, all stepping up. Hernandez having one of his best hitting weekends by far on the year. And again, you're facing some lackluster pitching for Britton Parker, but all in total, sometimes it's that confidence boost that can catapult you into the rest of the season.
No, I absolutely think it is. I mean, I think you see this play out so often with really good teams in sport. Now, if Carey did not have the preseason expectations, if they did not have the depth that they have on their roster, then you can lose a couple of players for a couple of weeks and things can snowball. And then all of a sudden negativity creeps in, self-doubt creeps in. But when you have a team with the depth that Carey has and with the mindset, with the leadership, and you just go top to bottom and you can check every box on this team, there were questions as to where guys were going to fit in the lineup, but I don't think there was a question that there were enough guys to fill out the lineup card. Pitching staff, it was going to be, okay, who's going to be the Friday night guy, Saturday night guy, or Saturday guy, and then the game two on Saturday. So who's going to be game one, two, and three? Who's going to be our midweek guy or midweek guys? But there wasn't a question as to how many arms you had. Everybody, as we said at the top of this segment, is finding their spot in the lineup now. And so when they come back, watch out. I mean, this has been the couple of weeks to kind of sneak up and take a couple of wins off the Crusaders. And there have been a couple of closer games. But all in all, Carey has been able to take care of business and will be, the expectation now is to be healthy heading into that stretch run where it's big series, big conference series stacked up on top of one another, and that they'll be all systems go heading into the conference tournament and into the postseason.
Yeah, so right now, if you're kind of looking at the DL for William Carey, you mentioned Eli Collins had the facial fractures. It looks like a decent outcome for him, that we may see him back in a couple of weeks. I'd never heard back the report on Bradley Thomas. He was in concussion protocol. He looked like he fared better in the collision in left field. But the other one that's kind of outstanding right now is Matthew Davis, who's been such a talented arm on the mound for William Carey. Kind of him and Andrew Shiro have been 1A, 1B. But Davis looks like he's going to be out for about a month with a strain in his throwing arm. I hope to have that rehabbed and, you know, rested up ahead of the huge slate of conference games that's ahead of him. Because up next, William Carey's going to have a midweek meeting with Louisiana State Alexandria, which, if you look at the Bow Chip Index, which is the NAIA equivalent of RPI, they sit around 67 at the last update. That was March 3rd. And with that, if you're thinking about where Carey is, they're at number 7, and that was several weeks ago before they took down D2 opponent in West Alabama and also before sweeping Point and Britton Parker. Not to say that Point and Britton Parker would help your index, but it also helps that you get a sweep and with as many runs as they scored as well. Not that that's a huge factor in it, but it at least is win. All right, they are wins. So, all said and done, William Carey's set up well right now. They've got to keep the hot bats going because timely hitting has been the hardest thing for them this year when they've gotten into tight games. There are going to be a lot of slugfests, I feel like, coming up for William Carey. There are going to be a lot of if their wins high scoring games, because they have Mobile up next on the weekend series. That'll be here in Hattiesburg. And then I think one of the better weeks as far as competition coming into Hattiesburg. Mark this on your calendar. Get ready. And I don't mean this to, you know, skip right on past Mobile. That's going to be a decent series. But Mississippi College, March the 25th at Milton Wheeler at 5:30. That's a Tuesday night. And then Georgia Gwinnett comes into town, who are top 10 in the country in most polls that you'll ever see. If you look at Bochip, they're one spot below Cary at 8. We had a little taste of them last year in the early going of the season with a 7-inning ball game that Cary was able to walk off with R.J. Simpson. Well, no R.J. this year, but you do have Georgia Gwinnett coming into town, and that should be a good one. So that'll be March 28th and 29th with a 3-game set of non-conference action, but good action nonetheless. So Cary is on a win streak after posting up 31-17, 11-7, and then 33-6 victories on the road at Burton Parker. We'll wrap things up next for you on Crusader Talk. Look back at the rest of the week and look at what's to come. That and more as we wrap up next on Crusader Talk.
Talking everything William Cary University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Final segment with you on Crusader Talk as we wrap things up here on a Monday edition, March the 17th, as we look ahead of the week that we have in front of us with a little bit of better weather, I would say, than what we had this weekend. Just to take a pause from the sports conversation, I want to tell you that Josh and I are throwing out our hearts and prayers to anybody out there affected by the tornado damage over the weekend. I know our friends in Taylorsville were rocked pretty hard, some folks in Seminary as well, and all across our state. I believe it was 21 different counties received significant storm impact damage and a couple casualties as well that were, you know, very sad to hear about. But all in all, glad a majority of everyone out there fared fairly well. And for us in Hattiesburg, selfishly kind of happy that we avoided direct hits in our region. But again, praying for everybody out there. If you're listening and you were heavily impacted by the storms this weekend, if there's anything we can do to give a helping hand, we've got a couple of games you can come to. Concessions are on Josh. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, sure. It'll be a good weekend. Yeah, a lot of softball, a lot of baseball. Hoping for a better weather week, obviously, this weekend. I know the near-term forecast is good. I haven't looked all the way into the weekend, but should be a beautiful week, and certainly it'll be we'll be able to offer some very good distraction over the weekend if you need it, certainly.
Well, if you like this University of LSU Alexandria, you have picked the right week to follow athletics, as Cary softball will host a twin bill against the Generals on Tuesday. Game times at 3 and 5 there at Joseph and Nancy Fail Field. Then baseball on Wednesday will travel to Alexandria to face off against LSUA at 4 o'clock down there in Louisiana. So those are the three sets, or those three games individually against LSUA that softball and baseball have. Continuing on in the week, as you get to Thursday, March 20th, it'll be a little bit of the Olympic sports as men's and women's track and field will go out to Starkville to play in the Bulldog alumni relays. And then men's and women's tennis will have Our Lady of the Lake to play down in New Orleans. And then wrapping up, beach volleyball has got a handful of matches to play against Spartanburg Methodist and Truett McConnell over in Laurinburg, North Carolina. They had a pretty good week, by the way. Went 2-1, I think is what we said it was, Josh.
Yeah, 2-1.
Yeah, so look to see what all those girls are able to do. They've had a couple really good flights already, and I don't mean in the air. I mean just the teams they pair up in those. We might spend a second talking about that later on or maybe in a future episode. But to wrap up the rest of the week, men's and women's tennis will square off against Lewis Clark State in New Orleans on Friday. Softball will host Point at 3-5. And then baseball will get their game against Mobile Friday night at 6 p.m. So a full slate of games over there at the Larry Kennedy Sports Complex on campus. And then wrap it up Saturday with more beach volleyball in Laurinburg. Abraham Baldwin comes to town for softball. Cary men wrap up their series against Mobile, and tennis continues their stuff against Hope International on Saturday in New Orleans. And that's kind of the whole general look at athletics on the week. And looking even further ahead, Josh, just to get people to have this in their calendars, look ahead not only to that Georgia Gwinnett series that I mentioned earlier, that will be the one between this weekend and the series against Thomas coming up on April 4th and 5th. That is homecoming week for Cary. Without having a football team, though baseball did their best football impression on the weekend, we have homecoming festivities for the week of April 2nd through the 5th, 2nd being a Wednesday. That's when the first event actually happens. But if you are planning things out, you can go online to wmcary.edu, search for the homecoming schedule there in the alumni site on the page. And you can find out all the future information. Biggest one that everybody likes to talk about is the Crawfish Boil. That'll be at 11 o'clock on Saturday. I don't know the exact location. It's kind of varied in spots. They've had it at baseball before. They've had it out there, I believe, in the general courtyard in front of the student center before. But all that said, you can buy your tickets online. Just go to the alumni page on the website. There will be a homecoming site you can navigate to, and at the bottom you can buy your crawfish cookout tickets. They are $12 a piece, and I've had it a couple times, Josh. It is some good crawfish. You also have a night of worship on Friday, April the 4th. Jaron Davis and Kindred Souls are coming in. I don't know if you've ever heard them, Josh. They are a terrific group, and you will worship till your arms fall off.
Well, you know, I know for homecoming, my wife and my brother-in-law both being Cary graduates, it's something that they haven't probably been as engaged as they've needed to as alums. But now with me getting into the broadcasting world of Cary and kind of getting my wife Stacy and my brother-in-law Brian kind of maybe re-engage a little bit, my nephew, my son, just getting the whole family involved, that's something we're certainly going to try to make this year, no question.
Hey, no softball that weekend, based on what I'm seeing in front of me right now. So if you go out to the baseball game at 5 o'clock that day, hopefully it wraps up quickly and you can make it out there to the Thomas Fine Arts Auditorium for that night of worship Friday. Soccer 7v7 on Saturday and a whole lot more. Again, just look online at all those different fun things, even the theater program. Has a couple editions of The Play That Goes Wrong. That's fun. Look that up on YouTube if you have a chance. That is some hilarious stuff that you will be looking forward to seeing. But that's going to do it for us on this edition of Crusader Talk. For all the latest and greatest information, go online to the Cary app or online at CaryAthletics.com. For Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill. Till next time, good night, God bless, go Satyrs.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.